All right, folks, what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to turn to Galatians in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now, we are in the midst of a series that I've entitled Experiencing the Relationship, the Lord and You. And the reason why I'm doing this series is because we hear about the relationship with the Lord, and we hear about how we need to have a relationship with the Lord, and we think, oh, that's cool, that's nice. But a lot of us don't really know what that means. A lot of us don't really understand when those kind of phrases are brought before us, and that's something that we understand. So in the first week, we looked at how God wants to have an intimate fellowship with you, relationship with you. That was what he desired from the beginning. That's why Jesus went to the cross to reconcile us to him so that we would be accepted. That's what's coming in the future when he will dwell with us forever in the future. And then the next week we talked about how we are hesitant about entering into that relationship because the fact of the matter is, I hate to say this, we're all failures. I know we don't want to say that in our society, in our culture, but we've all failed. How have we failed? We've sinned, and we continue to sin, and we struggle with sin. Sinful attitudes, sinful actions, continually giving into the same things, and then we're like, oh, so you want to have a relationship with me, Lord? But I'm a mess. And so we talked about that, about how we can be right with him and how he restores us. And we looked at Psalm 51. Now, I thought I would hit one more thing today before we talk about developing the relationship. I want to talk today about what cripples us. I want to talk about spiritual failures. Now, I'm not talking about sin, although in your mind you may equate it with sin. But I want to talk about spiritual failures because you might be listening and you might be saying, you know, George, yeah, I've tried seeking after him in a relationship, but I only crashed and burned. I only failed. And I've done that many times, and it's like, I can't do this. And you're just defeated. Like you hear, oh, wow, there's this wonderful relationship with God. Wow, that's really exciting. He's doing that in other people's lives. But when it comes to my life, that just seems so far off. Every time I try, every time I attempt, I just fail. I just fail. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to be focused on a few verses in chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 17 through 21. But before I get there, I want to talk a little bit about being crippled by defeat. How do we end up there? Okay? How do we get there? Crippled by defeat. Well, here's the first one. Okay? In our Christian circles of influence, okay? In our Christian circles of influence, there are many views of the relationship with Christ. So when you talk about a relationship with Christ and you talk to Christians, and we all know a lot of Christians, they all go to different types of churches and they all go to different denominations and so forth, and everybody has their own tradition and in their own mind, what does it mean to have a relationship with Christ? You talk with them and they all have different viewpoints about it, like how much you should be going to church, how much of the Bible you should be using, what Bible to be used. Haven't you had that one shared with you? You should use the only version. All other versions are, have you heard this one? Perversions. You know what I'm saying? And so you think to yourself, okay, well, I'll get that. And then you try to read something that was written 300 years ago, and you're like, oh my goodness, how do I read this? You know what I'm saying? And you've got all of these folks telling you so many different things about the relationship, and you try them. So I'll give you a personal testimony. So 39 years ago, I came to Christ. I went to a little bitty independent Baptist church in West Columbia, South Carolina. And those were good people. Those were very loving people towards me. But the type of church that it was a fundamentalist Baptist church, which meant there were lots of rules of what should be done and what shouldn't be done. There were lots of rules of what a good Christian should do. So a good Christian should come to Tuesday night visitation. And I went. But I noticed it was just me, the preacher, and maybe one other guy. The other 100 and some in the church didn't come to that day. Oh, that's interesting. Good Christian goes on Sunday night. Good Christian comes to prayer meeting. Good Christians do this. Good Christians do that. Good Christians don't do this and don't do that and don't go here and don't go there. And what I found is even after 2 years in my immature state as a believer, I began to realize I can't do this all. And I ended up being defeated and somehow entering into my mind that God didn't look at me the same way anymore because I wasn't doing what everybody says I should be doing as a Christian. And by the way, even in that little church, there were many viewpoints about what you should and shouldn't be doing anyhow. You thought I'd find that to be true, right? Not just that there's Christians of different viewpoints outside of the church, but in the church there are different viewpoints. Now what ends up happening? Well, here's my point. When we fail to do what others expect, we become crippled by our defeat. When we fail to do what others expect, and let's be honest, we're geared to doing what others expect, right? You were trained from the moment you were walking to do what others expected, right? So if you think about growing up, think about being a child, there were things that I did and didn't do in a Canon household because there was the expectation of my mom and my dad. When I went into the military, there were things that I did and didn't do simply because there were the expectations of the sergeant or the commander of the unit, do you understand? Or the whole apparatus. When you got your job, wherever you worked or working now, there are things that you do and don't do because there's the expectation of what? The company, the supervisors, maybe even on your crew. We all understand about living according to the expectation of others. It's all part of our life. Now, the problem is we bring that over into our Christianity. We bring that over into our relationship with Christ. And yes, there is the expectation of what the Holy Spirit wants from you and the expectation of what God tells you in His words, but I find that a lot of us are not defeated by this. We're defeated by what others expect of us. And they'll be quick to tell you, well, you know, if you're a good Christian, you'd be doing this. Or a good Christian wouldn't do that. And so while we have in one sense a hesitancy about entering into the relationship with the Lord because of our own sin, we have another sense in which we have our, quote, spiritual failures, where we didn't live up to the viewpoints or expectations of others, and it crippled us. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. We're going to get into it as we look at this passage. But I want you to understand that there is something you've got to grasp and understand. Or would everyone here agree with me? You are the only one who is like you. Would everybody agree with that? You are the only one. You are the only one who has that personality. Well, I have a son who's like me. No. Your son may be like you, but he's not you. Does everybody understand it is you? And with that, there are certain dynamics with you, certain relationship dynamics that are only true to be with you. Okay? So here's what I want you to understand. Each of us, God wants to have a relationship with us. And His interaction with us is going to be different with each person. Why? Because you're unique. Because you're unique. He's going to interact with you based upon who you are. If we could just grasp that and not allow ourselves to be defeated by the opinions of others, because it's real easy. Here's how legalism happens. Legalism happens where I develop my relationship with the Lord and I think, oh man, this works for me. And then as a pastor, I then tell you to act that same way. And that'll help you to grow or be close to the Lord. But the problem is, what works for me may not work for you. And a lot of times it doesn't. But then you fail to live up, so you are defeated. Well, let's look at what the passage is saying to us. He's talking to people here who have been told to keep the law. You've accepted Jesus, wonderful, that's great. But keep the law. You have to keep the law to continue to be accepted. And so I want you to notice with me, we're going to start in verse 17 into his discussion here, because I want to focus on a few things here. I want to talk about wasted efforts, and I want to talk about a new perspective. Okay, so let's look with me. We're going to look at verse 17 through verse 21. Here is what Paul writes. But if, in our endeavor to be justified with Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. What he's talking about here, folks, is the whole issue about what brings about your justification. And another way of saying that, a better way that I would think is meaning your acceptance with him. You being able to stand before him. What brings it about? Is it you keeping all the rules and doing all the right thing, or is it something else? And this is what he's talking about. And this is why I want you to understand. When we talk about having the relationship with him, you just need to understand he wants to have it with you. And don't allow yourself to be defeated because you can't live up to something. Well, you're going to find out something here in a moment. Well, let's take a look. First of all, wasted efforts. Here's what I want you to see. If you look at verse 17 through 18, here's what he says. But if our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if we rebuild what I've torn down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Here's the first thing. Our efforts to be accepted by Christ will only result in failure. Only result. So all of the things that you're, quote, trying to do to show yourself to be a good Christian and to be accepted by Jesus, it's only going to show yourself to be a failure. You know that. I mean, you try to tell yourself, like, well, I'll show up to church every time the doors open. Wonderful. Till your car blows up and then you can't go to church or you get sick. Well, then I'll struggle and come to church sick. Now, don't do that anymore. We used to do that years ago, but nobody cares for you being sick in church now, right? And what did that do for you? Nothing. God's not keeping a brownie point chart. Oh, he made it 51 of the 52 times a year. Wow. Some churches might give you a prize for being here every Sunday, but God doesn't. Because that's not how he measures his acceptance of you. Now, being in church is a good thing. We want you to be in church. You need to be in church for encouragement with each other. But it doesn't gain you acceptance with him. Because ultimately, can I be honest with you? You're going to fail. And here's the argument that he's making here, because he says, if our endeavor to be justified, we too are found sinners. You're going to be found a sinner no matter how much you try to do what's right. Why? Because you're a sinner. You're corrupted. And you'll sin. So that does that mean Jesus then brings about sin? No, that's not what he's saying here. That's not the point. Jesus isn't the one who brings about sin. That's not the basis for your justification. In fact, if I rebuild what I've torn down, what do you mean I've torn down? I've torn down this reality that I need to do something to be accepted with him. But if I rebuild that, if I keep trying to think that I can gain his acceptance by doing something, I only prove that I'm a failure, that I do wrong. That's the first thing I want you to see. So our efforts, can I be honest with you? If you think what you give in an offering is supposed to do something with God to make him bless you in some ways, you've missed it. If you think that all of a sudden you show up and volunteer for everything and that's supposed to do something so that you can get closer to God, you've missed it. If you think by helping out others that somehow God's supposed to help you, you've missed it. That doesn't do anything to gain the relationship. The relationship's already there. You just have to capitalize on it. Here's what I want you to see. Let's go on. Second thing out of these verses. This results in a wrong view of Christ and the relationship with him. So I want you to think about it, okay? So I told you, 39 years ago, I had this concept that I had to do all these things for acceptance with God, and then the realization hit me that, man, there is just no way to do this. Well, here's what I struggled with. I struggled with is that I began to think incorrectly, so it was incorrect, that God was putting this burden on me. That he was putting this weight on me to do these things. Did you understand what I'm saying? And the reality is it was beginning to mess up my thinking about Jesus. And the fact is, he didn't put those things on me. How do you know he didn't, George? Well, think about the first church council in Jerusalem when they're trying to decide whether or not Jews should keep the law or not. And Peter steps up and says, why are we trying to impose on others what we ourselves could not keep ourselves? No one can do it perfectly. Do you understand? And when you operate in that mindset, you begin to think that God is the one who's demanding this. But he's not. You get messed up thinking about Christ when this happens. And it messes us up. Like we think he's ready to just squash us because we're not doing it. Really, is that why he saved you? Is that the reason why he saved you? Is to be cruel to you? That is a wrong view of God, isn't it? In fact, let's go on. One more thing we're going to see there. It's actually, we're going to look now at the new perspective, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. We look at all of our efforts at trying to gain his approval and do what he says and he'll love us. How about he just loves us? I don't know if I grasp that, George. Really think about this. We have folks here who are parents, right? You love your kids, right? Some of you love your grandkids. Now, can I ask you a question? Do they do wrong? Do they not listen to you? Or do we have perfect parents here whose children do everything you tell them, right? No, we don't have that here. So they do wrong. They don't listen to you. They do their own thing. Do they disappoint you? Yeah, they disappoint you. Life wouldn't be normal if they didn't disappoint you, right? But did that change your love for them? Did that change who they are to you? You're their parent. They're your child. The Father is your Father, your Heavenly Father. You are his child. His love for you is constant. His acceptance of you is constant. Why? Because you are accepted because of what Jesus did for you, not what you do for yourself. So all this effort, trying to achieve, is wrong. Well, you say, George, shouldn't we be doing right things? No, you do right things, not for the acceptance, but because of the acceptance. Do you understand? You do it out of the love. In fact, he's going to describe that here now. I want you to look with me. Verses 19 through 21. All right, we're going to see four things. Here's what he says in verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. Here's what I want you to notice. Our failure to gain acceptance helps us to realize our need for Christ. So here you are, you're trying to do all the right things, but it always ends up that you mess up, you fail. Now you have two ways to respond to that. You can respond to it by saying, well, then I don't even want to try anymore. There's just no way for me to do it. Because I'm just going to mess up. I'm just going to do wrong and just forget it. And some people do. And they walk out away from the church and they walk away from God because they think there's no way to do this. Yeah, that's one response. And some take that response. But there's a second response. And this is what I need you to understand. Our failure to gain acceptance helps us realize, I can't do it. I need you to do it, Jesus. Do you understand? I need you to do this in my life. I need you to help me to do this. I need you to help me to change. I need you to help me in this area. Because in and of myself, I can't do it. I've tried many times. And I fail. Now the problem is, we live in a culture where we don't accept failures, right? We live in a culture where we don't accept people who don't do right in an area. And we somehow think that God acts the same way with us. No. He's actually, to be honest with you, glad when you realize you can't do it. Do you understand? He wants you to arrive at that point. He wants you to arrive at the place where you realize, I can't do it. Do you understand? Here's the second thing I want you to see. Look with me at verse 20. Great verse. I memorized this as a young man. He says, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a great verse. Now, here's what he's saying. Two things I'm going to bring out of this verse. Okay, here it is. Number one, embrace the truth that Christ lives in you because you died spiritually. This isn't the only place he tells us this. He tells us this in Romans chapter 6. He tells us this in other places. He says the moment, the instant, the time when you were saved, whenever that was, when for me it was in the third Tuesday of April in 1985 when I gave my life to him. The old George died. The old George died. So whenever that was for you, the old you died. The old you was crucified with him. Now, physically, I'm still alive, but spiritually, I died. And in that instant of when I died, I rose with him, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 6. I rose with Christ. I became a new creature. I became a new person because now who lives within me? In fact, he says that in this verse. Christ lives in me. So who I am changed. So if we're going to understand the reality that I can't do it to gain your acceptance, and all this effort of mine is wasted. And so how do I enter into this relationship? Well, you enter into the relationship realizing the one that you have a relationship with lives within you. He's already as close as he can be with you. And you need to embrace that truth. Because you already recognize you can't do it on your own, right? We already talked about it. It's all wasted effort. But then the old you died. And the new you has Jesus living within him. That's what's awesome. Here's the next thing I want you to see about this verse. The life that you are supposed to live is one of faith in the Son of God. Look at what he says there, verse 20. He says, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." The life you're supposed to live, the life you're supposed to live isn't to be a life lived by doing the right things that others have told you you need to do. The life you now live is you do what God told you to do by faith. Faith in what? Trusting in him. Faith in knowing that I have a relationship with him. Faith that I know that he will give me wisdom and strength. Faith that I know that he will give me guidance and direction. Faith that I know that he will be with me. Faith that I know that I am accepted with him, not because of myself, but because of what Jesus has done. I live by faith in him. Not by faith in myself, because I already know. I can't. When are we going to realize this? I need to realize this. George, I can't do it. Because when I try, I just mess up. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe we need a new shirt, Mess Up King. I would wear it. Because that's who I am. But really, that's not who I am. Oh, he knows that I am frail. Like, so can I just say this? God is not surprised that you fail. He just thinks we're misguided. Because the life we should be living is in response to the love that he has given. And so that life that we should be living is one lived by faith. So therefore, because I have faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when I fail, I pick myself up and I go on and I live by faith. And so as I'm pursuing this relationship, I pursue this relationship not by my actions thinking, well, if I do this, I'll get in good with him. No, I do this by faith because I know I have a relationship with him. Do you understand? There's a difference. And that he loves me. There's one other thing I want you to see here. Look with me at verse 21. Here's what he says. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Here's what I want you to see. Recognize, you must recognize that your spiritual failures, and I'm not talking about sin. That's a whole different category. But can I be honest with you? Some of you have said, I'm going to read through the Bible. Okay, great. You've read through the Bible. But then there comes a week where your week blows up and you don't get into the Bible that week. And so then you're like, oh my goodness, I'm behind. And oh, this affects my relationship with you, Lord. Hold on. That spiritual failure doesn't cancel God's grace in your life. He's still going to be gracious with you, right? Right? Can't do my devotions today. He understands. And he's there ready to meet with you when you can get back with him. Do you understand? It doesn't nullify his grace in your life. And you know what? When you went through that deep water and you weren't spending time with him, he was the one carrying you through it. See, I think sometimes we make excuses for why we don't want to pursue what's already right there in front of us. What are you really talking about, George? I'm telling you that right in front of you is a relationship with the God of the universe. And he did everything to make sure that you can have it. In fact, he wants to have it with you. But we're the ones who are hesitant. Why? Because we sin. Well, it's not like he doesn't know you sin. Jesus paid it all, right? Past, present, and future. Didn't we understand that? So obviously he understood that and saved me, even in spite of me. Well then, well, it's because I'm not a good Christian, because I'm not like what so-and-so said. Well, first of all, he didn't tell you that. So-and-so said it. But then your acceptance with him isn't based on that, is it? In fact, doing that stuff only reveals that you can't do it. So you go to him and you embrace him. And then here's what happens. Because some of you are like, well, then what do you mean? I don't do anything. I just kind of absorb it. No, no. When you go with him and you interact with him, he then begins to show you, hey, George, and here's something. I won't tell you what he's telling me, but he's like, hey, you know this area right here? I'm bringing it up again. Been bringing it up for a while, George. Let's do something about it. Notice what I said. Let's do something about it. Meaning he and I do something about it. And he'll help you. This is the relationship. The question is, do you want it? Do you want to go deeper with him? And so starting next week, we're going to start looking at how do we do that. But it's something for you to think about, okay? Let me pray for you.